The first Talkin' Tuesday was a lot of questions, basically no answers.
Exactly.
A lot of passion. But maybe we should flip it this week. What do you think? This is Adam King. This is The Beat. I'm Austin Ward. How about we have some things that we are confident we know?
I am confident I know nothing.
Well, this will be a very short episode of The Beat.
Thank you for watching. We really appreciate you guys taking the time, and that'll do it.
What if you just had, just kick us off with some passion again?
Okay.
What's on your mind? Let's get rolling here.
What's on my mind? You know what's on my mind?
Well, I know that you have thoughts about what time games should be played.
Yes, I do. And we can start there.
Okay.
I mean, I hate the argument about noon games and all that, but I think it's a real thing. And I think it's understandable. I mean, there are recruiting factors that go into, you know, bringing players in from across the country. You want them to experience your game. You don't want to bring them in for a noon game against Ohio University. You want them to see Ohio State at its peak, and its peak is a night game in the Shoe. I don't know that I would be this passionate in the past, but I just feel like they've done so much in the past 6 months to get the environment ready for a big game like Texas.
Yeah.
That we need to see it. We need to let Ross Bjork and this department showcase the changes that they've made. We got to see a little bit of it in Tennessee, but that was hyper speed.
Right.
Them trying to get it ready.
And streamlined.
Streamlined.
Because they couldn't do all the other, I mean, there are things that they want to do that they plan to do that they were not allowed to do because the CFP is engaged in that. Mm-hmm. I'm not just talking about sponsored elements.
No,
there,
yeah.
There are other things that they have to do, and they had a couple weeks to prepare for that. But, you know, I don't, it's hard for me to get worked up about it too much. I don't disagree with you. Like, if you were going to take every team's schedule and put them on tiers, this game is noon, this is 3:30, and then you save this year, you're talking about Penn State and Texas in prime time. Like, I don't know how anyone could argue against that. It's not ever going to be the reality when you deal with broadcast contracts and everything else, which is, I think, the single biggest frustration. And I understand why fans don't want these games at noon. I understand why you don't want some of them at noon and the atmosphere and Ross Bjork and all these other things. But unfortunately, they all wrote their names on this piece of paper and they're continuing to cash the checks. So, like, I know that that part sucks to hear, but that is the reality of the situation.
I would just like to say some guy named Coach Dave replied to me and said, "You took the money. You can't complain." I didn't know any of us were getting paid. I signed nothing. I will gladly campaign for
Kevin Warren tricked us all at the 10 media days.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's exactly. I understand. And it's a silly discussion to have because the coaches, they love noon games. They love the idea they can get out of there. They can have the rest of their Saturday. They can even watch a little bit more college football, which they can't do in a night game. And you also don't have to entertain yourself all day long. I mean, that's tough. You're sitting in a hotel room trying not to think about the fact that the biggest game of the season is 5 hours away.
Yeah.
I get it. I don't think I would be this passionate if we didn't see the stadium series with the Blue Jackets this year. What they were able to do and showcase, I just think that that Buckeye fans deserve to see that. And they will. Listen, there will be a night game this year. There always is. The question is that night game going to carry the power of the stress of one of the biggest games of the season?
Here's the last thing that I'll say about it. Probably, maybe not.
We'll
probably
until tomorrow.
We'll be talking about it again. But I know that there is at least an effort from Ohio State. Please, Fox, reconsider. Do this some other time. I don't know that that's going to lend itself to actually getting it off of noon on that Saturday. But maybe if you're having this conversation and voicing your displeasure, rather than waiting 5 years to get to the negotiating table again, maybe you say, "What? What if you just don't let this Penn State game be at noon? Like, why don't you let NBC have? Like, maybe you can make a trade." And I'm not saying that to get anybody's hopes up. That's speculation on this point because I know that Ohio State is working behind the scenes, but their hands are tied in some ways, a lot of ways. And Fox's hands are tied because they can't just say, "Well, you know what? Let's make it a night game," because they also have a contract with Major League Baseball. So I know Ohio State, Texas would draw more games than whoever the Royals are playing I don't know.
Let's not attack Royals fans here.
Sorry,
I stand Royals. With the Royals fans.
Sorry, Royals fans, for catching these strays. But, like, it's just simply not that easy. So I don't know that we have to belabor that point. But I knew I wanted to get Adam's passion out.
Yeah, I will say this. And it's not as passionate as I was last week because it's a time of game.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to play the game. If you told me that they were going to play the game, I think you'd be more passionate. But if I was a higher up at Fox, all I'm saying is, if you announce to start the season, maybe it becomes a thing for Fox just to kick off the season. That first week is Fox big night kickoff.
Big night kickoff.
Big night kickoff. And listen, it's smart for Fox to be at noon. They have the window. That is their, they've got every eye in the world on them. If you could go at 7, you're now competing with NBC. You're competing with CBS sometimes. Yeah. You're competing with ABC and ESPN. So I get it. Money drives everything. I just still think just Fox big night kickoff. And if you want to use that, I will not copyright it. If, you know, Joel Klatt is listening.
That's very generous.
Yeah, you can use it. I will be okay with that just for the Texas game.
All right, well, that's the King's Decree, which I believe is going to be a regular.
I like that. Can we get a gavel?
Yeah, part of Talking Tuesday.
I don't think the Kings have gavels.
They don't?
I don't think so.
They can have whatever they want.
That's true. They have swords. I want a sword.
Yeah, all right. Well, you can do that too. So I was thinking for answers. What's a question that you had going into spring camp that by the end you thought, you know what? I do have a pretty good feel on this, and maybe you like it.
My question and answer comes from the cornerbacks. And my question was, how do you make this work with all these guys and who's going to jump out and who's going to be the starter? And I think I'm excited about the idea that my answer is it's going to be a rotation. Like
your answer is there's still going to be a question.
Well, no, but I don't think there's a question, I guess is because I think there are a lot of people that are saying right now, well, who's going to be the starter and who's going to play? From what it seems like, it really does feel like that they are just going to roll a lot of these guys, which keeps them fresh. And that's something that Ohio State hasn't had in recent years. Yeah. I mean, the cornerback room, go back 3 years, was the biggest liability on this team. Now you have a world where you can take any one of those guys off the field, put someone else in, they're fresh, and they're still one of the best cornerbacks in the country. So I think so often in football, we're used to saying, okay, give me the 22 guys that are going to take the field. I need to know the starting 22. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we talked about the defensive line last week. I feel like there's a real conversation to be had that there isn't a starting cornerback for Ohio State week in and week out. I think Jermaine Matthews, Aaron Scott's online saying, yeah, hey, people are overlooking me. That's a pretty big guy to
He's
overlook.
He's not wrong.
Devin Sanchez is supposed to be Jeremiah Smith as a freshman. I just think you take all these pieces and you say you can only have a couple guys out there. How do you make that work?
Yeah.
I think how they're going to make it work, and from what I can gather from spring, is everybody's going to get out there. Why not put fresh legs on the field?
Yeah, I think I went into spring certainly not concerned about the level of depth and the amount of talent that they had at corner. It's always, which is your point, there shouldn't be a question of, are they going to be good? Yeah, they're probably going to be the best unit of cornerbacks in America. BIA, some might even say.
Wow. Did you come up with that?
Can also use that if you need it. But
I think that might be copyright.
Oh, okay. Well, but as you mentioned a couple years ago, in Tim Walton's first year, the BIA pipeline, the BIA factory had been disrupted. And I know it wasn't Tim Walton's fault. He inherited a situation and he had to, you know, get the recruiting up going again, which he certainly has done. But you also had a bunch of injuries during that year. And I think there were people questioning, like, why did Tim Walton come back here? Why is Jalen Ramsey saying he's the best position coach that he's had at the NFL level if this is the best that Ohio State can do? But Cam Brown was hurt throughout that year. Denzel Burke was hurt throughout that year. You didn't have the same level of options that you could turn to. They had to basically throw, you know, true freshmen out there and hope that it went well. And sometimes it did and sometimes it didn't. Now you're not only reaping the benefit of that with experience for someone like Jermaine Matthews, who's coming back, and certainly, you know, talking about guys who feel like they're overlooked.
Yeah.
You have the draft boards out there, top 10
corners.
He just
put that out today.
Yeah, he doesn't feel good about that. So you have high-level guys that you can count on. You have experience that you can count on. You also have 5 stars in each class behind them, and Aaron Scott and Devin Sanchez. So however Tim Walton and Matt Guerrieri and Matt Patricia decide to put that together is going to be really good. That's the BIA part is back. That you can't really question it. But I do have lingering questions about how much do you want to rotate? Is it 4? Is it 5? And then what does that mean for the nickel position, where there actually is, like, you know, an ongoing thing that will be settled in training camp? Because you can put Jermaine Matthews there, and we saw that. And that involved Aaron Scott going out and playing as that corner. You've got Lorenzo Styles out there playing that, coming back after getting those reps at the dime spot. Do you want to, you know, move and focus on someone like Miles Lockhart? There's still a bunch of options there, and I'm not saying that any of them are bad. This is just what I do in the offseason, where it's like, I don't know what it looks like. If you're 100% right, if the answer is, yep, the secondary is good, don't worry about it, fine.
That's just how I feel. I mean, I guess I was like, how are they going to use all these pieces? How are they going to make this work? And then I watched and I was like, well, they'll just use them all. I don't know. Like, I guess I'll just stop what I'm doing. They'll just put them all out there and rotate, which is not a bad idea. The other big answer I got, and I think this was the biggest question I've had in years for Ohio State, and it could only be answered in spring, was how would this program respond to winning a national title? Mm. And I don't think they took enough time to celebrate. I don't, which is great. That's what you want.
Some of those guys said they only used 2 days. And
Caleb Downs said 2 days later, I was like, all right, on to next season. I thought that this would be a parade that went into the spring. I think if you are an Ohio State fan, you have to love the way that they've handled this. Mm. I mean, Caleb Downs is sitting there saying, we didn't win anything. You did, Caleb.
He did.
You did. Yeah. But
Sonny says the same thing. Yeah, you did.
You did.
Yeah.
But that's the mindset you need. Yeah. And so I was wondering, okay, is this a celebration? Is this a, hey guys, we just won a national title. Obviously the guys weren't going to, you know, lay back at all, but is there a little bit of confidence that comes with it? I think this feels like exactly how you build a dynasty, which I know is a crazy thing to say.
We're skipping ahead.
Yes. But I just, that's the mindset you have to have. It's like, Tom Brady walked off the field with the Patriots and he said, okay, thank you for the Super Bowl. Somebody took my jersey. When do I get back to, you know, training camp and trying to get the next Super Bowl?
Right.
Patrick Mahomes has the same mindset. And golf, Scottie Scheffler, he's in the press conference for the PGA Championship yesterday and he said, well, now I'm on to Thursday. And if I lose there, people will be mad. Like, that's the mindset champions have. College football is hard. It's hard to win national titles.
Yeah.
But I love the idea that if you talk to this team, if you sat them down and you came from outer space and you didn't know who won last year, you would have no idea that these players went out and won a national title in one of the most amazing fashions you'll ever see. And I think that's huge coming back for this team. Ryan Day talked about, do we tear down the foundation? Do we build on that foundation? And he said, a lot of these guys weren't a part of it.
Yeah.
And we need to build a brand new foundation. Just do it again.
Who was the first player who told you about moving down a row in the team room?
It's a good question. I think they all collectively just talked about, they were all going to get up and they all stood up there at the front and they were all so proud of that moment. And I get it. That's a huge moment. But you're right. Like, that is the mindset of that team. Is like, they got back in there. As Ryan said, they don't always get to do that.
No. They almost never get to do
that. Yeah, this is the first time in Ryan Day's era they've gotten to do that. So when they do that, they move back in. And in that moment, I'm sure that was when they were like, okay, we did it. The ring ceremony was probably nice.
It was gaudy.
Yeah, it's a nice ring.
Which one?
It's true. I don't know what you do with the rings. I don't know if I'd wear them every day. I feel like I'd break them.
Yeah.
But like, I'd also want to wear them everywhere I went.
Surely they're made well enough that they're not going to break.
I break a lot of things. Yeah. Like, you would be very surprised at my ability to break things.
But when you talked about the mentality of this team, that was the first thing that I thought about. Because Sonny Styles was the first one who, you know, Berman and I had a conversation with him in, I don't know, February, maybe 2 weeks before the start of training camp. And we hadn't heard about this meeting yet. We hadn't heard about sliding down. He said, well, I'm in a different seat than I was. And I have a different responsibility to lead this team. And Caleb Downs has a different responsibility. And the seniors are gone. Now, he didn't quite go as far as saying, I've not accomplished anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, both he and Caleb Downs were very important. Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, like, all these guys have accomplished something. It's tangible. It's done. The trophy is maybe in the lobby. I don't know where it is.
I checked, actually, ironically, today. Okay. I was there, and it is still not there.
So it's somewhere.
And some fan showed up, and they just wanted to get a picture, see the trophy. And they said, where is it? And they said, it's all traveling.
It's
devastating. So, you know.
But they have that. They have the rings. But it's such a great point, Adam, that they want to defend the title. And no one is going to, if Sonny Styles' senior year and Caleb Downs' last year, almost certainly at Ohio State.
You don't think he's coming back?
I don't think he's coming back. That's something.
Hot take right there.
Bold prediction. That's bold what we prediction. Do on the show. Some bold peas. You know, it'll be the same thing that you're talking about, whether that's Scottie Scheffler or Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. It's like, do they want that to be the way that they remember their last year at Ohio State? Or did they go out and do something that is even more difficult to do in college football? Did they back it up? Do they get to leave with a second set of rings? Do they get to win a set of gold pants? Like, that's still something that's hanging out for them. So you see the work ethic for these guys. Ryan Day had talked about, you know, them, you know, trying to get away from football, which was it's February. You played 16 games. Calm down.
Go
home. That didn't really happen because then they got back in it and they're like, well, we need to play more football. And then after spring ball, he's like, take a little bit of time to get away. And then what happened? We're there last week and we see
they're all there.
We see all of the guys continuing to work out. And, you know, even, you know, you've talked to you and I both talked to Sonny Styles and Lorenzo Styles in the last few days as they get ready for their event next weekend with the Huckleberry House. But it's like, well, yeah, we did take a couple days for vacation and we took our girlfriends out, but it feels weird when we're not working out and we want to be back in the Woody, and that's where they are.
And that's what they love to do. And I guess that's, you know, Ryan Day said a great point. I had a chance to sit down and talk with him about mental health. And he said so often with a team, when the season comes to a close, these guys want out. Yeah. They're like, all right, I want to go do this and go do that. I think that speaks to the culture at Ohio State and what they built is that these guys want to be around.
Yeah.
And that's how you build a champion. And maybe it's as simple as sitting down and saying, Jeremiah, Caleb, Sonny, you guys have an opportunity to be the first back-to-back champions in Ohio State football history. Think about that. Think of the history of this program. It's never been done.
Yeah.
That is a long road back, and they won't even really talk about it. I mean, if you say, hey, how do you feel about the national championship? They say, that's in January. I don't know what in the world to do there. I'm not talking about that point right now.
Yeah, they've moved on from that. Is there something on the offensive side of the ball that you feel is
yes, easy? The running backs. When I look at the running backs, I wondered, very similar to the cornerback conversation, I wondered how they would handle this. And obviously, James Peoples comes back as the front runner, if you will. But it really does feel like this is going to be just a backfield where they share the ball a lot. And my biggest answer is that I know for a fact that Bo Jackson is going to be a name that by the end of the year, people know. Not just
people
in
already know Bo Jackson's name.
Yeah, that's true. He is a legendary running back, and people are the amount of times that people are going to say, "Well, he related to that Bo Jackson
that
over
is
the next
get,
year."
That is going to get old.
It's going to get very old. But that's how good he is. Is that I mean, after watching that, the man just runs like it's terrifying. I wouldn't want to tackle the guy. So I think my answer there is Ohio State will be just fine in the running back room. I am not worried in the slightest. I know they just sent two guys in the second round of the NFL, and that's scary. But what they have there, James Peoples, we know he's good. But really, the one that jumped out, Bo Jackson, looks absolutely dominant. He doesn't look as young as he is.
Yeah, he had an awesome spring. I do think, because I like what all of them bring to the table, and I was really surprised by C.J. Donaldson because the way he changed his body physically after he arrived in the Woody, like he doesn't look anything like, if you watch the tape from West Virginia, the guy that we saw in 15, yep. Five open practices out of the 15 that they had, it's not the same. So I'm much more optimistic about what C.J. Donaldson brings to Ohio State than I was going into camp. There's a part of me still though, Adam, that says, boy, Travion and Quinshon played a lot of football. And this is maybe the spot where at running back, you don't have to do that. We see true freshmen. We see, you know, redshirt freshmen. We see sophomores thrive all the time at running back. If you have that athleticism and that ability with the football in your hands, it tends to show up pretty quickly. So maybe that won't matter. But the rest of that part where like Travion and Quinshon were so good at picking up blitzes and playing with toughness and catching the football out of the backfield. There may just be a part of me, and I know that the talent is there to match what Trey and Quinshon provided, but they have to go out and then do it against Texas in week one. And if there's anywhere that the Longhorns are probably well built to get rolling again, it would be on the defensive side. They built in the trenches, got really good talent at linebacker. So are they going to be ready for week one? I'd say maybe it depends on the day and my mood, because I think the upside is right there, but they have to actually like go do Trey and Quinshon things in week one.
What is your mood? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
No, I just like
talking about the Buckeyes, man.
Yeah,
that's my mood.
I think you're right. I mean, it's hard not to say, boy, what they lost, and maybe the intangibles. Like you talk about the blocking, that's huge. The confidence that gives to a quarterback to know Travion could take on the greatest defensive lineman in the country, and you still got a chance here.
Yeah.
That gives you a security blanket, especially for a young quarterback starting in his first game. So you have to figure that out. But the other thing, you talk about Donaldson. I am very intrigued to see how they use him. I was talking to the coaches and I said, so does he become kind of a predominantly out of the backfield passing attack for you guys? That is not their point. Like they're treating him as he is completely a running back. I just think you have so much versatility in that backfield that you can you can change out so much. But you're right. I mean, it's hard, but that's the whole team. I mean, everywhere you look, you say, boy, wouldn't it be nice if we had that one guy from last year? Wouldn't like if Trey had just come back?
You know, which one?
But you could pick anywhere, and it would build.
No,
up
you have one. You can.
I got one guy that can come back.
Yeah.
Well, don't make me choose. I know. I'm put number 18 in the backfield. Okay. We're winning.
Sorry, that was too easy.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, it's really, it's concerning. But I do feel like I got clarity there. The other thing is, if Ohio State ever has a year where they have returning running backs and returning offensive linemen, you look out, because they seem to alternate that all the time. Last year, the O-line was questionable. They had the dominant running backs. This year, they might have one of the best O-lines in the country. They got questions at running back. So, you know, when they put those things together, which they did down the stretch there, obviously that's how they won a national title, but look out.
Well, they were piecemeal on that bad boy on the offensive line. They were holding their breath to get through practice.
Some duct tape.
Yeah, and whatever else, you know, to keep those pads going. I have one other thing for you.
Okay.
I know that Sonny Styles is going to wear the Blocko.
Yes, 100%.
There's no question about
it. Not even a
little
bit.
That's an answer.
Yes.
When you talk to him and Lorenzo about that event, I mean, how impressive are these guys?
It's, you know, I wish that fans could see, and I appreciate you asking that question, because this is, you want my final answer of the day here? It's that fans picked the right players to root for when they got, you know, shaped into a Buckeye fan, because these guys are such good men. When you look at the players that left last year, they were all just genuinely good human beings. It's quite remarkable the success that they've had and their ability to stay grounded around that success. You look at the Styles brothers. I mean, they are the epitome of just two guys who have been blessed in their life with talent, but also worked incredibly hard and don't want to take it for granted at all. They give back all the time, but it's across the board. Caleb Downs, Jeremiah Smith could be as standoffish as he wanted. He is the best player in the country. I don't think he knows that he's the best player in the country. Like, he doesn't.
I think he knows.
He probably does. But like all of these guys, CJ Stroud, Marvin, they just have a unique ability. And I think it's the culture at Ohio State to just be genuinely good people that happen to be phenomenal football players.
Yeah, well, we definitely don't have to question that, because Ohio State has it rolling. They've got the recruiting going, and we're going to keep talking about that every Tuesday that Adam King will grace me with his
next
presence.
Week, I'm going to wear the zip up. He is going to wear the suit and tie.
That's not how this works.
Oh, okay, never mind.
I don't even own any of this. You're going to have to teach me how to dress, but I probably won't pay any attention.
I can see you in a white shirt with a tie and a jacket and shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen you. Do you own pants?
I do own pants.
Okay. He's not wearing any pants behind the table. You can't tell.
Yeah, don't give away too much. That's why this table is here. Like, what should we do with the set? I'm just going to put this table here, and then I'm going to get comfortable, because that's the secret of television.
Yes.
You don't have to wear pants.
I did at my last station. There was a man. He wore a suit, and then he wore shorts every day.
Yeah. So that's the insight that you can only get on a Talking Tuesday with televisions. I'm sorry.
10 TVs. Adam and 10 TV Plus.
And 10 TV Plus, where maybe you're watching this, or maybe you're just listening on all the audio platforms, but we appreciate you hanging out with us. Either way, this has been a Talkin' Tuesday with Adam King. I am Austin Ward. We'll talk to you tomorrow.